Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy sports and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics.
Gentlemen, or gentle persons, whatever you want to refer to yourself as, welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics. It's Mr. FSP, Fantasy Sports and Politics. My name is Vic, and if you're joining us for the first time, welcome, welcome, welcome. Trust me, you will not be disappointed. Hopefully I'm not disappointed. But we have three topics. Only listed two. Today we're going to do a mock draft, a mock first round of the NFL draft. Myself, my co-host, Black the Bookie, Jeff the Joker, and Jerry ATM Taylor, a.k.a. The Master. We're also going to talk about the end of what some would call an era, the Lingerie League. Yes, Jerry and Black had some great times endorsing that. Matter of fact, if memory serves me correct, we had a couple of the players on the show, on the Thursday show some time back. But I'll let Jerry talk to you guys about that because I wasn't there. I'm quite sure he was if we had him. So we're going to do that. Also, we're going to talk a little baseball. Since we're talking about Jerry, we've got some interesting news about Jerry. But ATM, bless the people with your lovely voice.
My lovely voice? Oh, boy. My lovely voice. you're starting already on me, but that's okay. welcome, people. This is a Saturday show, and I am the co-host of this show, and I think I'm in for a bit of razzing, or whatever you want to call it, from Mr. Gardner. But I told him before, if he's going to willing to dish it out, he's got to be willing to take it. So, hello, yeah. Mr. Gardner. How are you?
See, now it's Mr. Gardner. It's not Vic. It's Mr. Gardner. So you better go there. Okay. I got you, old time. You got your Jared Paul.
Always. Always.
All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're waiting on the other two coaches to call in before we begin our mock draft, but there's some developing news in the NFL, and I want to get to that real quick before we go any further. Remember, I said that the Washington Redskins traded away the sixth overall pick to the Rams and all those other picks so that they could possibly, you know, trade down and get more picks. Well, there's one team that actually is trying to do that. So my thoughts aren't too far off. And it happens to be the same team the Redskins traded picks with. The St. Louis Rams, the Philadelphia Eagles, and a few other teams are attempting to trade up to the Cleveland Browns spot. His report, or according to ESPN, NFL.com and Charlie Casserly, Cleveland Browns are well-versed in trading down in the first round of the NFL draft, and recent reports indicate the team could have several options if it wants to do it again this year. The Philadelphia Eagles and the St. Louis Rams are among at least four that have expressed interest in acquiring the Browns' fourth overall pick, league sources told the Plain Dealer. The newspaper said there was a decent chance the Browns would move down in the draft. What does that say about the young kid out of Alabama? Has his stock gone down, or is Tannehill that much of a prize if you want to move up? Here's Charlie Cassidy's thought process. Texas A&M quarterback Ryan Tannehill, USC offensive tackle Matt Khalil, LSU cornerback Morris Claiborne, and Oklahoma State wide receiver Justin Blackman were cited in the report as possible targets for teams interested in trading up. Khalil has been projected to be drafted by the Minnesota Vikings with a number 3 pick. All 4 of the most recent mock drafts by NFL.com experts slot him there. But Vikings general manager Rick Spielman said his team might trade the selection. On Tuesday, an NFL executive told CBSSports.com that half of the teams in the top 10 are trying to trade out. Wow. Didn't know that, did we? Opinions have varied on what the Browns would do with their first pick if they elect not to trade it. 3 NFL.com experts said Alabama running back Trent Richardson would land in Cleveland, but Chad Ruder predicted Justin Blackman to go to the Browns. The Eagles and Rams both have multiple second-round picks with which they could facilitate a trade with the Browns. The Rams earlier moved down 4 spots from the number 2 pick to acquire 3 first-round selections as well as a second-rounder. Browns, who already hold an NFL best 13 draft picks this year, have traded back in the first round in 2 of the last 3 years. So basically what's going on here is the Browns could conceivably have maybe 2 or 3 first-round draft picks this year, add a couple more, or add 2 or 3 second-rounders just to flip-flop. And if that's the case, we're in for a whirlwind of stuff. And we have Jeff on the line. I don't know if Jeff caught what we were talking about, but I'm going to let you comment, Jerry, on what I just read.
Well, I'm thinking the same thing you're thinking, and what what you just talked about. I'm thinking there's going to be a lot of crazy, not crazy things, but a lot of movement. I do believe in this draft there's a lot of talent, and they're closer together than a lot of people think, and I think a lot of teams realize that. And I think they're going to be moving up and down because of the equality and the talent. So there may be a few outstanding players, but for the most part, everyone's like pretty much bunched together. And these teams realize that and are jockeying for position to either acquire more draft picks or target a specific guy that they want higher in the draft. These teams like the Browns, like the Rams did already, they're picking up picks and moving down and then possibly moving up. These teams that don't have haven't had a good season last year are I think under the guise of picking up more picks because the talent is so spread out throughout the draft that they think they can get value later in the draft. And still be able to pick up picks. So
impact players and picks.
Yes, exactly. So
okay.
I can't wait for this to happen. I know it's a few more weeks away, but it's going to be a wild and wacky ride. I can see it happening.
I can too. Jeff, I know you're on the line, but I got an unidentified caller here that I want to get to, just in case it's black. I want to
know. No problem. No problem.
All right. Caller from Skype, I believe it is. Please state your name. Welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Hi, this is Kim.
Oh, what's up, Kim? Miss Fawn.
Hi, just calling in and just picking up the conversation. So, please continue.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, Kim, because we're going to do some real serious stuff, but the next conversation is going to be kind of wild, so you might want to cover your ears. I'm just letting you know that, Kim. Letting you know off the top. So just be ready, all right?
Okay.
Jeff, all right. Hey, Jeff, how you doing, brother?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm living la vida loca. What?
This is a rare, I feel privileged. This is a rare appearance by Mr. Joker on Saturday.
On Saturday, yeah. He used to come on every Saturday, but then he got a job. Anyway, so Jeff, what do you think about the Browns possibly trading down with the Rams, the Eagles, and maybe a few other teams in the mix? Well, in particularly the Rams, who want to move up.
Yeah. Actually, it makes sense because now because the cap situation's different, it's a lot more advantageous to trade down. It used to be more difficult. And when you have a lot of holes to fill and there's not the guy available, you know, trading down could be great. I mean, the Patriots do that a lot, and they've had a lot of success with that. But part of the reason the Patriots trade down in the draft was to manage their salary cap. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, once you get to the second round, you're still getting good talent, but you don't pay nearly as much as you do for a first-round pick. And, you know, when's the last time a second-round pick held out? It just doesn't happen.
Correct, because those guys want to get in, they want to get paid, and they want to make it to the team. So,
you got
it. What do you think? What do you think about the Rams trying to move up? Because this is the same type of scenario I proposed for the Redskins, except in reverse. I said they gave up three or four picks, but their talent is such in this draft that if they can pick up some other picks in this draft by trading back down, you know, it might work for them. The Rams are trying to do pretty much the same thing, but in reverse. What do you think about that?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, the reason the Rams weren't they the team that traded the number two pick to the Redskins? I mean,
correct.
Because
correct.
They already had a quarterback they were committed to, so they
Rogers.
Figured we can get some value. So I guess it's all about is it worth their while? So they got something to trade down. I don't imagine them trading up, but if they want to trade down again, they could restock that roster.
Well, they're actually trying to move up. That's what the report is saying.
Yeah,
They're trying to move up to the fourth spot.
Yeah, I don't get that. But unless,
okay.
But if, let's say maybe if they really want Trent Richardson, if they have him that high and they think Cleveland is going to get him. You know, or they think,
well,
then, you know, I mean, it's all what, also it's, you know, this is kind of like a poker game sometimes between teams. You know,
yeah.
They like to keep the cards close to the vest, you know, because there's trades and whatnot. And there have been teams to bluff, and they get paid for it sometimes.
Well, that's a possibility. I mean, I was looking at something on NFL Total Access where Willie McGinnis and Charlie Cassidy were, you know, doing a little skit about how GMs try to drive down the value of a player they want and drive the price up of a player they don't want so they can still get their player, but not for the money that, you know, that they would command at a higher spot. I think it's interesting that you think that the Rams are going to go after Richardson with Steven Jackson still back there. I think they have many more holes that they need to fill. Blackman probably would not be at number six if they stayed at number six. Four, maybe.
I think, Vic, that, and I stated on the Thursday show, Jeff Fisher is an old school coach.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't care about if it's a passing league or not. Jeff Fisher likes running backs. Jeff Fisher, if it's possible, and if it's possible at all, he knows Steven Jackson hasn't longed for this NFL world as an effective back because he's been used over the years. So he's going
carries.
Huh?
1,700 carries.
Yes. So what I'm saying is this: if the possibility, if he thinks that he can get a quality running back, the best running back in the they feel in the draft is Trent Richardson. To be mentored by Steven Jackson and maybe have a timeshare, Jeff Fisher is definitely going to go after that running back. And because the wide receivers, I think, are, I wouldn't say plentiful, but will be available in the second round,
mm-hmm.
I think he can get a viable wide receiver in the second round also to go along with the ones that he's gotten already.
I agree with you. Todd McShay believes that there will be seven quarterbacks taken within the first two rounds, and I believe he said eight or nine wide receivers. And this will be the first time in a very long time, if McShay is right, that takes place. I don't think that's actually going to happen, but we'll see. I mean, I see a lot of value slipping to the third round, because teams need a lot of different pieces on their interior defensive and offensive line, as well as in at the linebacker spot on a lot of teams. But we'll get back to the NFL draft. We'll save that towards the end of the show. But I want to talk about something, and Kim, you might want to cover your ears. I want to talk about something that's near and dear to Jerry's heart, or lower than his heart. The Lingerie League, ladies and gentlemen. The Lingerie League is leaving off. For those of you that don't know,
I don't know.
Yes, you do. Stop playing around.
No, I didn't know. So this is news to me, so you have to enlighten me.
Really? Okay.
I didn't know. No.
Ladies
me too. I don't know anything about it, so please enlighten me too.
Well, I know about it, Kim. I know about it. But what he's telling me, I don't know about.
Yeah, see. All right, basically, for those that don't know, and Kim would be one of them, there's a group of women, well, not a group, but a league of very attractive women who actually are athletes, and they wear very scantily clad uniforms, pretty much lingerie with football pads and
exactly.
modified helmets.
And very attractive. Very, very attractive.
Again,
very attractive.
And below, he follows it. At any rate,
very attractive.
Okay, can I finish?
Okay, who is that? Is that Jerry talking?
That is saying, Jerry.
Okay, I get it. Very attractive. And can they play?
Okay.
Oh, yeah, they can play.
Yes. Oh, geez. Actually, these women are very athletic and pretty good.
Yes.
They were so good or so marketable that Versus, actually, which is a cable or a network back in the States, carried their league a couple years ago or last year. And it got mixed reviews, but it was women... attractive women in again, scantily clad outfits, playing real contact football. And there were real serious injuries as well as, you know, stuff like that. But anyway, I'm going to read from Yahoo.com, and this is an article I'm reading. Lingerie Football League is hanging up its garters for the 2012 season. League spokesman Jim Whalen announced Friday that the LFL will go on hiatus until April 2013, so it can get a warm weather schedule in the spring and summer. Until then, players will go on promotional tours in Australia and Asia. The 7-on-7 female league was created in 2009. 11 teams played in the 2011 season, which culminated in a third straight championship for the Los Angeles Temptation. There I go, acting like a league is about football and not bras and panties and untouched garter clips. Wow, I didn't know they did that. Plans to expand into more U.S. cities and Canada will be explored during the hiatus. So, Jerry, you'll miss it for a year.
Yes,
but they're
going to
do it in the spring now and the summer. You care to comment? No, I'm going to save you for last. Jeff?
You care to comment? I've noticed this league, and they showed some of the games on MTV2, and I was prepared to hate it. And they play indoors like the Arena League, and I used to watch the Arena League all the time. But unlike most of the indoor leagues, they play during the fall, and I was prepared to really criticize it. But they get good athletes. I mean, most of them don't have a lot of football experience, but they get good athletes, and the games weren't too bad. They had one of their quarterbacks is Mark Ripien's daughter. Lucky for her, she doesn't resemble her dad.
Yes, Lord.
You know what I'm saying. But to me, there was a video last year when Donovan McNabb was having some problems with the Vikings. He found time to check out a lingerie game with a couple of his buddies, and it didn't look too good for him. You can look that up on YouTube. But I remember that year the Arena League went on hiatus. I think it was 2009. And I remember seeing something, the Lingerie League was expanding, and I thought to myself, I can't believe nobody's going to finance the Arena League, which has been around for years, and they're going to find investors. Right, and they're going to find investors for the Lingerie League. But this may seem hard to believe, but the guy who owns the Lingerie League is a big sleaze. And
really?
Yeah, I know. I hate to break it to you. And one of their players, she tore up, I think, her ACL really bad. She had a serious knee injury. And, I mean, they don't get paid. I don't even know if they get paid at all. But they're supposed to, the league is supposed to pay the cost if you get injured playing. And she has thousands of medical bills that they wouldn't pay.
Wow.
And that's the thing that I don't like about the Lingerie League is that, you know, that kind of sleaze. And they've had some trouble. I remember, I think it was last year, there was a team in Toronto, and I think the girls walked out because they fired, for whatever reason, they fired their coaches, and the coaches had football experience. And they brought in coaches who didn't have football experience, and they thought that was BS, for lack of a better term, because, you know, they were concerned about their safety, you know, and it would make sense. You want football coaches coaching football, not soccer coaches or whatever.
Wow.
But that's the kind of stuff that goes on in the LFL, you know. But I swear...
I knew you had a wealth of knowledge that will help benefit the listeners. That's why I'm for you first, because, Jerry, I know what he's going to do. But I'm going to go to Kim, the one female on the line, to ask her thoughts on this. Now, this is your first time hearing about this, Kim.
And I think it's... Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I just want to know what you thought about actually the women doing this and then the information that Jeff just gave you.
I think it's kind of awesome that, hey, if you have the body and if you look good and you have the athletic ability to perform and play, why not? You know, I think it's just a good opportunity to promote women in football if it has to go through the lingerie way or, you know, little skimpy and sexy. But, hey, skimpy and sexy sells, right, especially with football, right? Let's just get
that
real.
That is not what I expected you to say, but okay. Okay, well, what do you
think
about...
I always surprise you, okay,
yes,
Victor?
Yes, you do.
Never put me in a box because I always will come back and surprise you.
Right,
however,
exactly.
That being said, I'm also giving the benefit of the doubt that these women are also intelligent women. So before they probably sign any contract, they probably are aware of what they're getting into. So with any contact sports, you're going to get hurt no matter what. So if they are aware of that and they know the consequences of getting hurt, then, if you get hurt, then of course you're going to have medical bills. And it's sad that the league or the owner will not support it or has lack of funding or whatever, you know, to support these players. But I think this is a really good step as far as taking the initiative to promote women and football. Because, you know, it's football, it's always been a man's sport. And the women, you know, they're into it, but it's not like the way the men play. So I am all for that. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of these women are very intelligent, and I'm sure that they know what they're getting into. So that's my opinion. Are you surprised?
Yes, but you never cease to amaze me, Ms. Fun. But I'm quite sure the man that's about to talk won't disappoint me at all. He's going to go the way I think he's going to go. So, ATM, open your cash register. Start talking.
Now I don't understand what you're saying about what you expect me with the way to go. Now, you think I'm very informative about the Lingerie League. Well, my eyes were very opened by the Joker knowing so much about the Lingerie League and the ins and outs of it. So I'm disappointed. I want to get to see the lingerie. I'm disappointed I won't get to see the athleticism of the females in semi-professional or professional football per se. They have a unique perspective and view of football in a different way. If you understand what I'm saying, and I wait in high anticipation next spring, come April, when the new league comes out it comes back and maybe has a few more teams, especially maybe north of the border teams, which be a little bit more. I would say more, but be exciting to see teams from the Canadian point of view. They tend to have some outstanding players, if you know what I mean. So we'll see what happens when it comes down next year. Kim did not surprise me. Kim is a...
Oh, stop sucking.
Hi, Gary.
No.
Hi.
No, Kim did not surprise me because Kim seems like she's a very open-minded and tolerant type of person. So it did not surprise me that Kim would accept that women are.
Hello? Hello?
Yes.
I'm having big time technical difficulties with BTR. I don't know if anybody mentioned that yet. That might have something to do with it.
Wow. I hate that.
That might explain. But no, I'm having big time difficulties with BTR today.
Okay. Well, we got him back. Jerry.
Jerry, I love you so much. that being said, Jerry, there's always Victoria's Secret. So if you need a lingerie high, there's always Victoria's Secret. But if you want contact sports, Jerry, there's a thing called roller derby, okay? It's very similar to football, I'm sure, with girls who are skating around the... Yeah?
Kim, the local mall in my area has not one, but two Victoria's Secrets. So,
and
yes,
you would know. And you would know, you dirty old man. Oh, my God. All right, let me move on.
I didn't disappoint you, did I?
No, you didn't. Not at all. But, ladies and gentlemen, since we're on the ATM, okay, listen. Last week we talked about a trade that he and I were attempting to make. When did that come to terms? Huh?
Thank you.
Yes. We ended up coming to terms, and we made the trade agreement. Now, I was surprised. Was it Sunday, Jerry, or was it it had to be Sunday. Sunday night, in my time, which is like Sunday afternoon, Jerry's time, Jerry is at home, and he Skypes me. And Jerry... We're talking about the deal and this, that, and the third, and I hear a nice young lady in the background, and Jerry introduces me to her, and it happens to be his mother. And his mom sounds very young and vibrant, and she's all into this baseball game. So I'm like, his mom had to help him pick his draft, make trades, and then she was like, because she was back doing the New York Dodgers,
Brooklyn Dodgers.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
The Brooklyn Dodgers. And she was talking. I heard in the background, all right, David Wright's up the bat. Come on, David, we need a base hit. I'm like, Jerry got his mother to draft his team for him. That's how his team's that good. So
don't believe that. Don't believe what? That. It's in the genes. My mother is 80-something years old, and she has been an avid baseball fan for a long time, starting from the Brooklyn Dodgers, and because the Brooklyn Dodgers left, they basically had the same colors which transferred into the New York Mets. So that became she became a very big New York Mets fan. She's a very big football and baseball fan. So she can talk with the best of them on both subjects.
See, Jeff, this is where Jerry gets all of his knowledge.
It's
I'm
in the genes. It's
in
the genes. No knowledge. It's in the genes.
You pump your mom for the information. You're like, Mom, we're going to talk about this today. I need your help. Now, I'm just saying, you know, this is or was Women's Appreciation Month or Women's History Month or something like that. I think it was the last month of this month.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm thinking that's what happened because I just saw a report or a story that ESPN America did about the lone female to play in a recognized pro baseball game. It was in the Negro Leagues.
Yes.
You saying that's your mom?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
I'm about to say, dude.
No. She played for the Kansas City Monarchs, and I forget the other team she played for.
Yeah. But I only bring this up because Jerry has a decent starting pitching and decent outfield, and this is his first time ever drafting, and his mom sounded so into the game and so knowledgeable, I couldn't resist. Because Jerry, he has no knowledge. He gets it from his mother.
You think I have no knowledge. I keep telling you. I told you I was going to what I was going to do last year in the league. I told you what I was going to do this year in the baseball league. You know,
Jeff, I
am the master, and my knowledge is vast. I hate to say that, but my knowledge is vast, and I'm trying to bring you along, but you are very resistant. But sooner or later, you will understand what I'm talking about.
Because, Mom, you know what? We'll put Mom on the air on Thursday show, and I'll listen to her. I'll listen to Mama ATM. I ain't listening to the Master ATM. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I thought that was rather interesting. I wanted to bring it up. Actually, Jerry is number one in our fantasy baseball league. It's only been a week, you know, 2 weeks, but they combined the two. And he's
mm-hmm.
doing pretty well. I am okay. I'm number four so far. And usually my team picks up, like, the last couple days before the week ends. And every category in my game is very close, so it can go either way. But it's doing pretty well. And Jerry, he's beating his chest now. It's only been a couple weeks, but he's beating his chest like he's Donkey Kong. And we all know that it's Mama Kong that's taking care of Baby Kong.
I'll keep laughing. You keep saying the same thing. And I know the real deal, but that's okay because when
Jerry,
I come
Jerry, Jerry, let's bring it back. Didn't the last time we talked, we had a bet? And
oh,
said,
no, no, no,
I
no, 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 no.
Jerry?
No,
yes.
No.
You did,
Kim,
right?
You're about to get hung up. Kim, you're about to get hung up now. Why you got to bring that up, Kim? That has nothing to do with this.
See, I told you. Be careful what you talk about because it may come back to bite you. Hello. Talk to me, Kim.
Whatever, Kim.
Remember we had this bet about some guy was getting draft or not getting draft. He's going to get picked up. And I was like, let me think. Oh, I don't think he's going to get picked or something like that. Remember that?
Peyton Manning. It was Peyton Manning. Why do you have to bring up old stuff, Kim? Why do you have to bring up old stuff?
No, because I'm listening to you, and I'm just feeling kind of sorry for Jerry that, like, you're just, like, you know, being really hard on him, you know? Maybe Jerry just has his loving heart, and that's why women, his mom and me, feels like we have to protect him. So, lay it off.
I love you, Kim. I love you, Kim.
Jeff,
I love you, Kim.
Now, look, whatever, dude. Whatever, leave my little Asian alone, my Asian American alone. Leave her alone. Look, Black is in the chat room. Okay, I don't know if he's going to be able to call in or not, but I want
mm-hmm.
to start this mock draft. Now, Kim, what we're about to do is not going to be a lot of back and forth type stuff, but you're more than welcome to give a comment or two. What we're about to do is a mock draft of this upcoming NFL draft. And if Black does not call in, I'm going to just have him type in his pick when it's his turn to pick, and we'll call it out. The order, and we're going to pretend, ladies and gentlemen, that we are all 32 NFL teams. There are four of us. More than that's enough picks for everybody to make a pick. Each one of us will have eight picks. We have an hour to do this. So what we're going to do right now is Jerry, did you and Black decide one or three? Who decided? Did you guys decide or not?
Black, if he still wants the number one pick, I'd be more than happy to give up the one pick and I'll take the three. It doesn't bother me one bit.
Well,
because
you try to take RG3 at number one, and we can't do that because we know that's not going to happen. We already know that's not going to happen.
Wait a minute. Isn't this our mock draft?
Isn't this our
mock draft? So if we want to take players that are not
supposedly... He's messing up
supposedly,
my pick. That's why I don't want to do that.
I know that, but if it's a mock draft and this is our draft, then we should be able to pick who we want, where we want. Now, if this is a real type of draft, then if the player is taken before you're able to pick them, then you got to readjust.
I already did, but that's not what I want the Skins to have. All right, so are you giving him number one, or are you going to?
I'm giving him number one because I know he's going to do what I think he's going to do.
But he already did. He already did, the little critter. With the number one pick in this year's NFL 2012 draft, the Black Colts select Robert Griffin III. Yay, you jerk. That's Mark. The Washington Redskins and Victor Gardner. With the number two pick overall, the Washington Redskins select, begrudgingly, Andrew Peyton Manning Luck.
Now,
the clock.
Let me tell you something now. Let me tell you something before I even give you my pick.
Okay.
You heard of Charlie Casserly, right?
Yeah.
You know Charlie Casserly was pumping up Reggie Bush and they wound up taking Mario Walsh.
I know.
Okay?
I know.
Just understand something here. I understand Robert Airslaves for the longest been saying that he's going to take Andrew Luck. Now, he may, in fact, take him. But here lately, he's been saying it's open. I'm open-minded. It's open. So understand, even though they're saying they're taking Andrew Luck, there is a possibility that the Indianapolis Colts will, in fact, take RG3. So understand
that. Well, here's the deal. I mean, I got that, but here's the deal. I think they offended RG3 when, you know, Irsay went on Twitter and said what he said and then came back and said, well, it's not a given, we're going to get Luck or whatever. And RG3 took it to heart and said, no, I don't want to come work out for you. And now that's when Irsay's doing the PR move, you know, and saying, well, there's a chance, da-da-da-da-da. I mean, it's 2 weeks before the actual draft, and there has not been a contract signing. No negotiations have taken place with either player. So it's a possibility that it could happen that RG3 mm-hmm. goes to Indianapolis. I'm not saying it won't happen. I just hope mm-hmm. it doesn't happen for the Redskins. I'm buying into that Shanahan offense with RG3, with the bootlegs and things of that nature. Andrew Luck isn't designed for that. He can move, but not all the time. But, again, I had the number two pick. I selected Andrew Luck by default. With the number three pick, we have the Minnesota Vikings and Jerry Taylor. Oh, my God. Are you going to trade out or are you going to pick? Are you upset?
With the number three pick, the Minnesota Vikings, which they should pick, but you never know what's going to happen with the Minnesota Vikings. They're a weird team. I'm thinking, and this is my opinion, they need a left tackle. This guy can play left, right tackle, left guard, center, right guard. He's a pretty versatile guy, but I think they need him to protect the Christian Ponder. I'm talking about Matt Khalil from USC.
Out of USC.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Matt Khalil has been selected by the Minnesota Vikings. On the clock, we have the Why So Serious. We have the Cleveland Browns and the Joker.
I think the Browns, they got a serious lack of playmakers, especially at the running back position. They lost Peyton Hillis. And that guy was lousy last year. That guy's crazy. He's country crazy. That guy's a piece of work. And they're going to take his. That guy's something else. Now that Brett Favre is retired, I think Hillis is now the new Captain Redneck. You know, that was the nickname of one of the pro wrestlers when I was a kid. Dick Murdoch used to tag team with Dusty Rhodes. He was Captain Redneck.
Yeah.
Yep, that's right. Captain Redneck, and I think the Browns are going to be smart, and they're going to draft Trent Richardson from Alabama, the running back.
All right. Moving on down to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who happen to have a lot of needs. Back on the clock is Jerry, Tampa Bay.
No.
Yeah, you're number
one.
Oh, no, excuse me, it's Black. I apologize. Black is number one. Will be Black with the number 5 pick. Black, please type in with the 5th overall pick. He selects wideout from Oklahoma State University, Mr. Blackman.
Wow. Really?
Yes. He picks Mr.
Wow.
Blackman for Tampa Bay. Now, Black, I know you're not live with us because there's noise in the shop, but I want to know why you pick Blackman for a team that has many, many needs on the defensive side of the ball.
And just picked up Vincent Jackson and got
Mike
Williams.
Vincent Jackson, they've got Williams, they've got
Aurelius
Ben.
Yeah.
That's a different pick, Black. He just says, yes, sir. He doesn't get any information. He says, yes, sir. I appreciate that, Black. I mean, I would like some type of reasoning. Wow. Hopefully we'll come back to him. Okay, that's fine. Well, that's the first monkey wrench in today's draft order. Personally, I would have went Morris Claiborne, but he did not. Since that took place,
okay, can I ask a question here? So nobody from Stanford got picked?
Yes.
Did anybody
Luck.
From Stanford? I mean, aren't the Stanford players, aren't they good? Like this guy named Andrew Luck, isn't he kind of good?
I picked him with the 2nd pick.
Okay. I didn't hear that. Sorry. What about the other guy from Stanford? Jonathan Martin, what about him? Isn't he also good?
The tight end? You talking about the tight end? He's going to be picked, but he's going to be later. He's going to be later. If you guys didn't know, Kim's from the West Coast. So.
Yes, I'm all about West Coast. I love Stanford. Okay, well, thank you so much for that feedback. Okay.
So you like those Stanford guys in those tight pants. Is that what you're telling me, Kim?
You got it.
Oh, my
Jerry.
God.
Yes.
You better leave her alone.
You got it.
Black has given his reasoning. Black has given his reasoning for picking Blackman. He says Greg Schiano, and it's a run-heavy, play-action type offense they're going to use. But if they get Blackman, now they're going to have a very, very robust set of receivers and still no help in their secondary. So I don't understand that, but hey, it is what it is. And here's what I'm going to do.
Excuse me.
since Black made that happen, I'm going to make this proclamation. With the 6th overall pick, since Justin Blackmon has been selected, the St. Louis Rams attempt to trade with the Philadelphia Eagles. The Philadelphia Eagles do not take the trade, and the St. Louis Rams select Malcolm Floyd, Notre Dame. Up
wow.
next, ATM Taylor.
Oh. Oh, boy.
At number 7. And
number
this guy is falling, and he fell into a good spot if you ask me, but hey. Go ahead, Jerry.
Wow.
Jacksonville.
Wow. You took Michael Floyd from me, huh?
Yes, I
Black,
did.
Black took Blackman from you, and you took Michael Floyd from me.
Yes, Michael Floyd.
Wow.
Jacksonville, number 7.
Well,
who
you know what? I'm gonna take the next available guy that I feel is the next best player on the board, and I'm gonna take Morris Claiborne.
All right.
I will take Morris Claiborne.
I agree with that because Jacksonville has a whole bunch of needs, and
mm-hmm.
Rashawn Mathis is like their best corner, but he's older, and they need to buck up that secondary of Jacksonville. But Jacksonville also, they need defensive line help. So you could have gone Copels, you could have gone somewhere else, but you decided to go Morris Claiborne out of LSU. That's not
absolutely.
A bad pick.
Say absolutely.
Again?
Absolutely. He's the best athlete on the board for me, so the best player on the board, so I'm going with that. Morris Claiborne.
All right. With the next pick, with the 8th overall pick, the Miami Dolphins and the Joker.
Falls in your lap, Joker. He falls in your lap.
Oh, this is easy. I think the Dolphins are going to make another mistake, and his name is Ryan Tannehill, the quarterback from Texas A&M. In his favor, his college coach, Mike Sherman, is going
right.
to be coordinating the offense in Miami. Big deal. That guy's a lousy coach. It doesn't matter. I never liked Mike Sherman. Big deal. He inherited a talented Green Bay team. He won a lot of regular season games, didn't do as much in the postseason. Whoop-dee-doo, la-dee-da. So, and the Dolphins, they like to make these splashy moves, but, you know who's running that squad? Three guys I like a lot, Larry, Moe, and Curly. So
the Three Stooges, huh?
Yep, they've been on my mind. So, because there's a new Three Stooges movie, but it's a joke. Those guys aren't the Three Stooges. They're just like a tribute to the Stooges. So, there's no taking the place of the big three. So, the Dolphins are going with Tannehill, who's going to be the next Jamarcus Russell.
Oh, wow. Now, you know what?
Wow.
That's what Brian Billick said. Well, he didn't say he would be the next Jamarcus Russell, but he said he's similar to,
comparison. Good comparison.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a possibility. Now, going back to Black, with the 9th overall pick from the Carolina Panthers, who have a whole bunch of needs, Black the Bookie, if he's listening, and I hope he is, because otherwise I got to keep talking, selects. And he's probably a second or two behind us. So, okay. Black, I'm going to suggest this. If you can, call into the show, and I'll just leave you mute until it's time for you to give your pick, mainly because this is going very slow, and I don't want you to be left behind. But let's talk about it while he makes his decision here. He picks Quentin Couples. Quentin Couples. DN
from Carolina?
Yeah, he stays in Carolina and picks Quentin Couples.
Now, Kim!
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Kim!
Yeah. Why
you,
do you guys sound so into this?
You are surprising me, Kim, about knowing these players. Not that you shouldn't, but you gave the impression earlier that you weren't too sure.
By the way, did you know that I went to Kilimanjaro and I climbed down? So, you know, once you get to the top, you just have purity in your thought. And after listening for a while, you could actually, like, understand what other people are talking about. So I kind of understand what you guys are talking about, but I'm just kind of, you know, disappointed that nobody's picking anybody in the West Coast, you know? That's all.
Well, Kim, there are other players on the West Coast. So we go back and forth here with from the West Coast to the East Coast to the Midwest or South. So it's going to be all over the place.
Yeah, it's going to be all over the place.
Okay, but, I'm just listening, so don't be too surprised if I kind of know something about football and, you know, kind of
participate. I'm never surprised, Kim. I'm never, ever, ever surprised. But I wanted to bring up a question I asked Black in the chat room. He picked Couples over Ingram. Now, a lot of people are saying that Couples, he takes a lot of plays off and he's dropping down in the draft order. Melvin Ingram out of South Carolina has a high motor and is pretty good. But he's projected to go to Jacksonville at number 7, but Couples goes to, according to Black, to Carolina instead. But, I mean, they need defensive help. They need DNs, D tackles. Personally, I would have got a D tackle for Carolina myself, because you got to start up the middle and then work your way out. But that's just my thought process. But hey, you guys got any thoughts on that? Him picking Couples over Ingram?
No, I have no. I mean, Couples is a good player. Ingram's a good player. No, that doesn't surprise me at all. No.
What about Nick Cherry from USC? Isn't he kind of good too? Don't they play in the same position?
You and these daggone West Coasters, come on. Now listen, Kim, I'll tell you this: he is pretty good, but he's not first round quality player, especially this high up. I mean, we haven't gotten out of the top 10, but. You know, it's difficult because some teams need these players, and you never know. You might be right, because Jacksonville and Carolina both need interior defensive players, and he might come up and be a surprise, but I don't think he's going to be a surprise and jump all the way up into the first round and all the way up this high in the first round. That's just me. But...
But
I mean,
when they pick people, do they pick based on their position, or they pick based on their ranking?
They pick on their need as a team. Now, Jerry earlier, he picked a player that was the best player available, which is always good if you're a team that needs a lot of different things. But most times, if you need a quarterback and the best player's a tackle, you're going to trade your pick. Just like, I'll give you an example. The Rams traded their pick to the Redskins because the best player available when they came to draft would have been a quarterback. And they didn't need that because they're secure with the quarterback they have. So they traded out of it. So that type of stuff happens. But 9 times out of 10, you're going to pick the best player available if you don't have something in your a player that you need, a position that you need. I'm going back to Black here. I asked him, of course, Couples over Ingram. He says yes. For Carolina, since they lost Dan Connor in free agency, they need a pass rush. Ingram is a beast, but he likes his pick. And he says Mex Carey is not first round. Well, yeah, he's responding to what you said, Kim, about Carey, the guy out of Sanford. He says he's not a first round player.
And Terry Nick from USC, right? Not Stanford, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry, USC, correct. I mean,
okay.
As I said, he's a good player, but he's not first round material. And Black agrees with what I said on that. But hey, things happen, and it is what it is. But I'm gonna go because it's my pick now. We're going to go with the 10th overall pick. The Buffalo Bills have a lot of different needs, a lot of different needs. But the first thing they need to do is shore up that offensive line and protect that Harvard or I forget what school he went to, that Ryan Fitzpatrick guy. And they're going to go get the second-rated offensive tackle in the NFL draft in college out of Iowa, Riley Reef.
Hello?
The email's going to go out.
Riley Reef. Oh, Jerry, that's your mom giving you help on your draft again?
No. Go ahead. No.
I love you so much because you have such a great sense of humor, dude, for real. All right, so I made my pick.
I got a problem with that.
You do?
Well, not problem.
Okay, talk to me.
I got a question. Why would you take, and if I'm not mistaken, I think this guy is a offensive left tackle.
Yes,
What about Jonathan Martin from Stanford?
Okay. I like that kid, but he's more of a run-blocking tackle. I've seen him set up for the pass. He's okay. But if we're going to pass block, or we're in a situation where we have to pass, which Buffalo normally is, they run the ball pretty good, but they normally throw it. They're a 60-30 pass-run ratio. And the kid out of Stanford, I've seen him, and he's more of a – his strong suit is run blocking, not pass protection. His footwork is okay. If they were to get him, he would have to go to right tackle, not left tackle. He would have to go for a right-handed quarterback because he's just not going to be used to it. In Stanford's offense, they do play action, I got you, but it's predicated off of running the ball so many times. And he's a mover. He moves the pile. But he doesn't, and from what I've seen, he's not that awesome at straight-up pass protection on a speed rusher, especially
okay.
When you're talking about the AFC East. With, you know, I don't think that's a good look for them, in my opinion.
Okay. Well, I'm just asking why you wouldn't take Martin over Riley Reef.
That's why I would do it. I agree with Charlie Cashley.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a better for the team. And this goes back to what I was telling Kim. For the team, it's a better move. Just like the Redskins, Okung was supposedly better than Williams. But for what the Redskins wanted to do, they went and got Williams, even though Okung was picked before him, but it doesn't matter. But go ahead, Jerry, with the Kansas City Chiefs pick.
The Kansas City Chiefs, home of Jamal Charles.
And Peyton Hillis.
Black, I know you're listening. Jamal Charles is not going to have a big year. I hate to tell you that, Black. Peyton Hillis is going to vulture a lot of touchdowns from Jamal Charles. Anyway, with the 11th pick, the Kansas City Chiefs select Luke Kalili, or whatever his freaking name is, linebacker from Boston College.
I agree with that pick. They need that inside linebacker help. I mean, that's what, again, you must have saw NFL, the thing with Charlie Cashley as well, because there was a debate. There was a debate to either Kansas City would pick him or they would pick a D lineman.
It's my knowledge. It's no.
Your mom is there. Stop playing.
She's not. She's not nowhere to be found. And let me clarify that for a minute. My mother was over here last Sunday, which happens to be Easter. So she decided to come to one of her son's house, which is my house, and spend the day with my wife and my sister and my mother and my dog. So that's why she was here.
Well, that's fine. That's fine. I mean, it was just ironic how she was there when we were trying to talk about our trade, and she happened to be watching baseball, and yeah, I'm just saying. Then we just heard a female voice in the background not too long ago. You said it wasn't your mom, but I got you. But Black says you had a great pick. He says you had a great pick.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Bookie. I appreciate that.
All right. Jeff, you're up with the number 12 pick, my friend. Seattle Seahawks.
Well, I didn't think this was going to happen, but if he's still on the board, they're going to take Melvin Ingram from defensive end from South Carolina.
Wow.
You know what? Now, listen, I agree with you, but I think what's going to happen is they're going to get a defensive tackle, or they're going to – if Copels is gone, yeah, they'll get him, but if Copels is there, they'll get Copels. But I think, honestly, they're going to get a defensive tackle, Fletcher Cox, because they need to go up the middle. But either way, it's a good pick because they need help on their defensive line. They need help on their defense, period. Period.
My question is this. I know you went defense, but I if I'm not mistaken, they do need help in two positions that I can think of. One of them is wide receiver opposite Larry Fitzgerald, and the other one may be
right.
A offensive lineman, like a left tackle. Like
possibly,
maybe Jonathan Martin.
Well, no,
still
they got
there?
Okun. They got Okun. They got Russell Okun, so they don't need a left tackle.
Oh, okay. You're right.
And
sorry
Black
about
says
that.
Excellent pick, Jeff.
Yeah, tell him I'd hit him back in the chat room, but I'm having technical difficulties.
Oh, it's all good. All right. Well, he's up actually. With the number 13 pick, and we're going to talk about the Arizona Cardinals, who also, as Jerry just said, need another receiver, but supposedly the two top receivers have been taken off the board. Do you think, and I know that this is a pick that Black might make, I'm not trying to influence him or nothing like that, but Kendall Wright, do you think this is a place Kendall Wright might go to help out Larry Fitzgerald, since early Doucette was a disappointment? What do you guys think?
Yes, absolutely. Good
what
pick.
About
that would be.
Floyd?
I already picked him.
Oh man.
Kim, I love you.
Oh boy,
I love you, Kim. I surprisingly picked Michael Floyd for the St. Louis Rams. I said that the Eagles tried to trade up to get a certain player, but the Rams wouldn't trade down that far. He believes that that your pick there. Well, no, he said what I'm saying about Kendall Wright is too high. Well, Black, I need you to make a pick, dude. We waiting on you. When you look at the needs of this team. Arizona, they need an offensive tackle. This might be the time that they get that guy out of Stanford. This will be the place for the guy for Stanford because they've always had offensive line tackle. Oh, he picks Cox. He picks Cox, defensive tackle. Now, that's interesting he does that. He picks Fletcher Cox because, if I'm not mistaken, Arizona plays a version of the 3-4, and they've got Donnell Dockett playing defensive tackle in that system.
I don't like that. I don't like that pick at all.
I don't like it either.
So no one is picking Jonathan Martin from Stanford. Is that what you're saying? No one's picking the offensive tackle, Jonathan.
There's a
Jonathan
chance.
Martin from Stanford.
No, what? Nobody picked him. But what I'm saying, and I think Jerry agrees with me. I'm not sure that this is a place that. If the receiver isn't there, that the Arizona Cardinals should pick him here because
yeah.
They need to protect their quarterback. And their quarterback had a couple concussions, and he was sacked a lot, and it starts with the offensive line. Now, the player Cox, he's an animal at defensive tackle, but when you got Donnell Dockett already there, and you desperately need help on the offensive side of the ball to either pass protect or make holes for Beanie Wells, you know, I think you picked that kid out of Stanford. I really do. But
yeah.
This is a mock draft, and Black wants Cox. If not Cox, wild card, Dontari Poe. He's still going defense. What's funny?
I thought you were making a joke. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Stay classy, guys. I'm sorry. I really thought you were making a joke. That was just a slip of the tongue, I guess.
No, that was it.
I'll quit while I'm behind. I'm sorry.
Okay. Jeff, you threw me off there, Jeff. All right. So, number 14. Oh, why do I get this pick?
I'm laughing at because I know the next pick.
Oh my God! But as a professional journalist and Black, I need to know exactly what you need me to write, dude. You need to email me exactly what I need to write. I can make it pretty, but I need to know what you need me to write, dude. And I'll get that to you ASAP. You know what I'm talking about, but you got to get it to me ASAP, dude, so I can write it up tomorrow. Anyway. With the 14th pick overall, and this team desperately needs help in their secondary, and Terrell Owens threw their quarterback or his quarterback under the bus yet again, the Dallas Cowboys select, and it's a very good pick, even though I honestly think they're going to go get the other cornerback. They're going to pick Mark Barron out of Alabama, strong safety. Now, I honestly think that the Cowboys need to pick up the other cornerback out of Alabama. Not the strong safety, but the other corner. But, you know, they're going to get the strong safety, in my opinion. And
Wow. You're really going to take Okay. I wouldn't think they would go that way, but hello?
Hello? I'm here.
Oh. What happened to Vic?
I don't know. We have a lot of technical difficulties.
Okay, I'm so relieved because when I had the show on Tuesday, too, we were having such technical difficulty, too. So I'm so glad it wasn't me and my inability to do the switchboard.
No, it was not you. It was not you, Kim.
We lost Vic, and he was running this mock draft. Now he took this guy Mark, I think Barron. He said he was
Mark Barron. Yeah, the strong safety from Alabama.
Strong safety. And I was going to ask him why he took that instead of.
Hey, I'm sorry, guys.
Okay.
Hi.
I accidentally hit the off button because I was so pissed off that I had to pick the Cowboys.
Oh boy! Anyway, this is the question I have: is why did you pick
the strong safety?
A strong safety instead of a D lineman like Dontario Poe? No
the sound. Reason why I didn't get Poe is because you're right. The Cowboys have a definite need on the defensive line. However, their front seven can get pressure. It's their secondary that is porous, and they just lost Newman. They need a better strong safety and a better free safety. And the best player on the board, in my opinion, for their need is a strong safety. Now,
okay.
I also think, because they lost Newman, that they might go and get another cornerback instead. But, you know, you never know with the Cowboys. They have so many needs on defense that it could be Dontarius Poe. And he says Black says Janoris Jenkins, so that's who I'm trying to get to. But I think they need to get that strong safety, and then go after that corner. They're going to be they're going to get a defensive tackle. Dontarius, and 20, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, 26 college athletes have decided to go to the NFL draft this year. I think a lot of them are going to be sitting there through day two, honestly. I really think so. But that's just my thoughts on it. But anyway, that's my pick for the Cowboys. Jerry, you are up next with the, what is it, the 15th overall pick coming from
Philadelphia Eagles. Philadelphia Eagles,
who failed to move up in the draft. Do you think they go get Dante? Well, you probably think they're going to get Poe, but go ahead. Who do you think they're going to get?
Oh,
Yeah. You go with Kelvin Jenkins?
I would think, no. How about this guy? A left outside linebacker, Zach Brown. How's that?
You know what? I kind of like that. However, I'm going to say this. Since their starting left tackle is done, at least for the first 6-7 games, I think they're going to get, if this kid is still on the board, which I doubt because I think Arizona's going to get him, but he's left on the board, I think they're going to get the kid out of Stanford.
Jonathan Martin. I was thinking about him. I was saying that the kid's still sitting there, which I'm very surprised he moved all the way down to 15. I was torn between Martin and going defense, and I went defense. So
Why I say this is because if he is there, that's not the blind side of the quarterback, because Michael Vick's left-handed. So, or he throws left. So that wouldn't be a problem for him protecting the blind side.
Mm-hmm.
So that, to me, would be a good place for him to land if, and this is a big if, because I don't think this kid is gonna be on the board that long, and Black left the chat room. But if he is, oh, there's Black right there. We got Black on the line right now. Sorry, Black. Glad you can call in, my brother. Black. Caller from the 202. Welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics. Please state your name. 758. Okay. I guess it isn't Black. Oh, he must have muted himself or something like that. I don't know. But he left the chat room. I'm not sure. Let's see. Who is up next? I believe it is the Joker. With
yes.
The 15th pick overall?
Yes. The New York Jets.
Hold on. The former team of Jerry ATM Taylor. Go ahead, I'm sorry. You can go now.
yeah, we already gave him the business about that. and in this mock draft, I think he's still on the board. It would be a real steal for the Jets to pick up Justin Blackmon, the wide receiver from Oklahoma State.
Gone. He's already gone.
Oh, okay.
He's already gone.
All right. And in this draft, Michael Floyd went a little early. I think that's who the Jets are going to get. But just work your way down the pecking order, Stephen Hill, the wide receiver from Georgia Tech. Over
Kendall Wright?
Yeah. Close, though. Wright from Baylor is good. But the thing is, Hill is faster than Grease Lightman, and that you can't teach. The thing,
and he's 6'3".
Yeah, you can't teach that either. So that's the kind of stuff that teams drool over. The thing that puzzled me is, and I was just thinking this because another Georgia Tech receiver, Demaryius Thomas, was talking about his former quarterback, Tim Tebow, and Calvin Johnson also played at Georgia Tech. So you got, let's say, in a 5-year stretch, 3 Georgia Tech wide receivers going in the first round. Which puzzles me because they don't throw the ball. You ever watch Georgia Tech? They're like playing. If you're a wide receiver, why would you even want to go to that school? I don't get it.
I got an answer for you. What is one of the biggest things in the NFL that a coach has to teach a wide receiver?
blocking. Okay.
There you go. Exactly.
Let me tell you, if I was a hotshot recruit wide receiver, I would not even look at Georgia Tech. Not even look at them, because you're just not going to get
agree.
The targets. Yeah.
Well, but see, that's the thing. When you have a Calvin Johnson coming out of Georgia Tech and doing the things he's able to do, and this kid has actually done Hill, he actually did some of those things like Calvin Johnson did while he was at Georgia Tech, when he did get the ball. So I think Hill is a very, very good pick for the Jets, even though they need defensive help because their defense is getting old, getting very old. But, you know, if he lands with the Jets, Texaco's not coming back. And you already got San Antonio there. Cotri re-signed with him, if I'm not mistaken.
I thought Cotri re-signed with Pittsburgh.
Oh, he did? He re-signed? Okay.
Yeah, he re-signed with Pittsburgh, yeah.
Okay. Well, you got Holmes. You get this big, young, scrapping kid here, and you've already got another receiver up there. That could help Mark Sanchez or Tebow, whoever's the quarterback, out a lot, who is fast as grease lightning, can already help you in the run game by blocking, and he's shown he can catch any type of ball at the combine. So, you know, and you got to think, since he didn't catch a lot of balls, his body's kind of fresh because he didn't get hit a lot playing in Georgia Tech. He did a lot of blocking. So, I mean, I think it's a good pick. I really do. But that takes away from the pick that I think the Bengals need to make. And since I hope this is black because I unmuted him. Call from the 202. I hope you're black because you're up with the Cincinnati Bengals pick.
Was the 7th pick. The Cincinnati Bengals select Michael Brockers, defensive tackle, LSU.
All right. That's a good pick, actually. That's a good pick.
Michael who?
Michael Brockers, defensive tackle,
Brockers.
LSU.
He's a good kid. He's a good kid. I actually like that pick.
6'5", 322, defensive tackle.
Yeah. He can blow up the gap. Kid can blow up the gap.
Black, we sound like we're keeping you up. Are you all right?
Wow. Or he's saying we're boring, one or the other. All right, guys, we're halfway done. Let's keep it moving, okay? And I'm up San Diego Chargers, who they need a little help all over the place, but because they are a 3-4 defense, and this kid has a motor who actually is listed as a 2 or 3 defensive end, and can come off the edge and cause havoc. And I love his last name, and hopefully he lives up to it. Out of Illinois, San Diego Chargers select Whitney Merciless, D end.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
They
wow.
need one. They need a pressure cooker. Dante Poe has slipped. Yes, he has. But you know why he slipped? Because he's slipping in real life, too. You know that, right?
Well, I'm surprised. I'm surprised you didn't go offense, but I'm listening to you.
Well, the reason why I didn't go offense is because they need pressure on the defensive side of the ball. They can get a decent wide receiver. There are a couple good. You still got Kendall Wright. You still got my man out of. What are you talking about? A tight end?
No, I'm talking about a lineman. A lineman.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, they got a lot of needs. That's why I said before I made the pick, they have a lot of needs. But they need a speed rusher to help that defense out. But you're up with the Chicago Bears pick.
Chicago Bears.
Oh, my God. You can do
we,
all day.
The Chicago Bears, are going to take the right tackle from Georgia, Corey Glenn.
Okay. You'd think, well, actually, since they're, you know, they got rid of Mike Martz, maybe the offensive line will do a little better, even though, Mike Tice isn't that great of an offensive coordinator, but he knows how to make an offensive line, so that might be a good thing. Personally,
right,
I think
right now they have Gabe Kareemi over right tackle. I mean, right over the right tackle. They're going to make Cordy the right tackle move over Kareemi to the left tackle. So
Melvin Kareemi got moved, right? But I thought she was going to get the one guy that's still on the board that is slipping here, but she didn't. And I think Jeff might get him for this team, but they have another need as well. Jeff, with the 20th pick, you've got the Tennessee Titans.
And they will select Stephon Gilmore, the cornerback from South Carolina.
Over Janoris Jenkins?
He's still available? I don't know. I heard good things about Gilmore, but Jenkins is good, too. Either or.
You're right. I think Gilmore's a good corner as well. I really think he is as well. So you're right. I can't say you're right because we don't know who's going to make a pick or not. But I think it's a safe pick. It's a safe pick. Black, you're up with Cincinnati's second first-round pick.
With the 21st pick, the Cincinnati Bengals select Janoris Jenkins, cornerback from North Alabama.
Now, Janoris Jenkins is that kid that I believe, got in some trouble when he was at Florida, or he was at some big school.
He
was at Florida. And he was a very good talent. He got kicked off the team. I'm not sure if it was academics or was it a I know he had a lot of personal issues off the field going on. And he ran pretty well at the combine. If he can get his head on right, he could be a very devastating cornerback. Now, they just signed Terrence Newman. They've got Pac-Man. Why do you think they go out and get Janoris Jenkins?
To show up that defensive unit. You just signed those guys. You don't know if they're going to pan out yet, though. They want to go with a safe pick here. He's one of the most talented corners left in the draft. Surprised he's still on the board. I know he's slipping, but I'll take Janoris Jenkins in.
Okay. Well, two people have slipped, in my opinion. Poe has slipped, and a few others. But I would have gone offensive line or something like that with Cincinnati. But hey, it is what it is. I'm going back to Cleveland.
If you would have went offensive line, I would have told you a cat like David DeCastro, the guy from Stanford.
That's who I would have picked, and that's who Charlie Cassidy picked as well. But you're right. I like that right there. Now, Cleveland, since you got them with Blackman already, they don't have a need at receiver anymore. But they do have a need at running back. And the next best running back.
Who did Cleveland take in the fourth pick?
Black had Blackman go to Cleveland.
Okay.
But since Cleveland lost Hillis, I think, and this isn't a stretch because this kid is actually pretty daggone good, even though he went to Boise. They picked the kid out of Boise State, and I forgot his name, and I just
Doug
had
Martin.
It right. Doug, thank you very much. Doug Martin, who is a three-down back, by the way. He's a three-down back. He goes to Cleveland. So they have a receiver, and they have their running back. Next up, Jerry ATM Taylor with the 23rd overall pick, which will be the Detroit Lions.
Thank you very much, all who have participated up until this point. He's dropped down to in my lap. With the 23rd pick, I will take Dre Kirkpatrick.
Good pick. I like Kirkpatrick right there. That's actually not a bad pick. That's the other cornerback that I said that the Cowboys could get, because I actually think he's better than Claiborne. I actually think he's better than Claiborne because he's played press coverage. He plays man-to-man coverage. Claiborne, he plays off. He's going to need help when he goes man-to-man. And, you know, Detroit needs help in their secondary. And with Ndamukong Suh and Vandenbosch and all those other guys trying to get pressure up the middle, Kilpatrick isn't going to have to cover but for so long anyway.
Look,
so that's a very, very good pick.
The only issue I have is this. He's going to a team that's becoming the NFC North Cincinnati Bengals, meaning guys getting in trouble. And he's been known to get in trouble off field too. So that's the only issue I have. But if he has his head on straight, I think he can benefit a lot with playing with Detroit. So.
All right. Ooh, Borders. We got 2 minutes left of live air, ladies and gentlemen. We're almost through with this mock draft. We're going to go into overtime. So before I let Jeff get the 24th pick overall, I'm going to just say this. We're going to continue this draft. Hopefully you guys want to do it on Sunday, end it on next Thursday, or do you want to do it again next Saturday and end the third round on the master plan, or we can do the third round the day of the draft. I need to know how you guys want to do it. Anybody want to do the master plan tomorrow?
I don't know if I'll be up on time.
Worry about it. Don't worry about it then. We'll continue this on Thursday for the crucial, unless Black has a guest. Black, do you have a guest on Thursday?
We might have a guest Thursday. We might have a guest. I'm awaiting confirmation.
All right. Then we'll do it on Saturday and end up on Sunday. How's that?
That's fine. We'll continue the draft on the 21st and end it on the 22nd. Okay, we're going to finish the first round today.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're going to finish the first round today and then round 2 and 3 on the 21st and 22nd.
Right.
On this upcoming Sunday, the master plan, Jerry, what do you got going on real quick?
The master plan, just a general conversation. Tune in and you'll find out. You never know what I'm going to talk about.
All right. I might be in there just to kick the bobo with Jerry. You never know. Again, we have, for the first time, well, the second time, so she can promote her own show.
Kim
and
Fun!
A way different version of this madness that we call sports, where you go into your quiet place and you like some.
I'm trying to get more of you gentlemen on my show just to make it more interesting. Like, I'm adding, you know, interest and compassion into your show.
Kim, I called on your show.
Jerry, hint, Mr. Black, hint.
Well, Kim, did you hear?
Yes,
Jerry,
I know Jerry.
Yes,
Jerry was on a show. Thank you very much, Jerry. I need you to be on the whole show.
No problem.
The whole show.
Maybe I could get your mom. That would be awesome.
You know, this is what I would like for you to do, Kim. I would like for you, because I'm interested in your journey that you took to Mount Kilimanjaro. I would like for you to call in tomorrow on my show if you can. And I will do it just for you. We'll talk about your journey to Mount Kilimanjaro and what you went through.
Awesome.
Well, that's
okay.
Great, because we did that on her show last week, me and her.
Oh, you did?
Okay.
Okay.
Yes, we did.
Okay.
But Kim's going to call in tomorrow. She's going to talk about it with you, and that'll be great. So, Kim,
what time do I call in?
Well,
it's 4 p.m. 4 p.m. our time, Kim. 4 p.m.
Okay.
Okay, Kim. Tell everybody what your show Tuesday is going to be about.
My show is going to be on Compassion Sisters. A whole bunch of women here are getting together, and we're going to the orphanage in Poland to provide some health care and also provide some services to help bring clothes and toys to the orphanage in Poland.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
It is a good thing. Yes,
right.
We are more than just, you know, us here. So we want to spread as much compassion and love out through the world.
I hear you, Kim.
Thank you.
Not a problem. And on Thursday, we're going to do a guest. Hopefully, if we don't have a guest upcoming Thursday, we'll finish up round two. I'm going to get up and help you out.
We'll finish up round two on Saturday.
On Saturday, you're
Saturday
right.
and
I'm
Sunday. We already established that.
That's
we don't have
son,
a guest.
I'm
we're
going
to be talking about news and notes in the world of sports, fantasy, and politics.
Thank you. Thank you, ATM. I appreciate that. You picked me up. Anyway, no, I'm serious when I said that. I'm serious. Why? So serious is up next with the Steelers pick with number 24. Now, Jeff, you know the Steelers have a lot of issues, brother. Come on, talk to me.
Well, they're going to be very happy to draft the inside linebacker from Alabama, Dante Hightower. They're going to be happy he's still around.
I thought you were going to get Upshaw.
I think Upshaw is rated a little higher than Hightower. I tell you, that whole Alabama defense is stacked. It was stacked. They're all going to be in the NFL this year. But I think Hightower is more of an inside guy, and I think that's what Pittsburgh's looking for. But Upshaw is a good bargain at this point in the draft. But I think Pittsburgh's looking for a guy in the middle. And I heard they liked Hightower. They worked him out, and they like him a lot. So that might have something to do with it. So,
but my question to you is, since they have so many needs offensively and defensively, do you think it's wise that they go this early to get an inside linebacker when they definitely need offensive lineman help? I mean, Ben's been a walking
stick. You're right about that. They could start that in the second round. You're right about that. But I think, you know, Hightower or maybe Upshaw is just one of these guys they're going to drool over. They won't be able to pass up. And they can start addressing that the offensive line needs in the second round. So,
okay. I mean, hey, you are who you are, brother. I'm not debating it. I think that's a very good pick. But since they have so many needs, I think the primary objective for the Steelers at this point is to protect Ben. Last couple seasons, he's just been knocked around, and, you know, they got rid of the left tackle out there, Sam Starks. They re-signed a couple of interior linemen, but I know they're looking for a left tackle. I know they're doing that. But we're back to number 25 and black with the Denver Broncos, Peyton Manning's Denver Broncos. Who do you think with the 25th pick, Black?
Well, with the addition of Peyton Manning to the Denver Bronco offense, I think Peyton would like to lobby the coaches to pick up a brand-new shiny toy from LSU. His name would be Reuben Randall, the 6'4", 208-pound wide receiver from LSU.
I got to debate this with you, bro. I got to. Because he has Demaryius Thomas. He's got Decker. He's got, oh, my God. It was another receiver they picked up. I can't remember who it is. But personally, they might want to get this guy from Stanford, Jonathan Martin. That's who I would get for him because the offensive line is young, but they need a right tackle. And I know that the left tackle is okay, but that was when it was Tebow at quarterback and it was his front side. Now we're talking about his blind side. And we already know that Peyton has issues with nerves and stuff. One bad hit and he's done. Literally, he'll be like me, a quadriplegic. So that's my only issue, that you bring a receiver over, especially over my guy out of South Carolina. It's your pick. It's your pick.
6'4", 208 pounds. You didn't get to see too much of him because of that foolish LSU two quarterback system. But dude is a beast, man.
Well, you know what? He's projected to go to the Texans, according to Charlie Casserly. So that might be, you know, some validity, but I wouldn't get him that toy. That's just me. But since I'm at the Texans and I'm picking, and you pick Reuben, Now, here's the deal. The Texans lost an offensive tackle. They lost their whole right side. They lost their whole right side. And they need another receiver. They need an additional tight end. They need another middle linebacker. They need another outside linebacker because they lost D'Amico Ryan to the Eagles, and they lost Mario Williams to the Bills. But to make Arian Foster happy, and I'm sorry because the Texans can get this guy, they can get my kid out of South Carolina in the second round, I'm going to say they're going to pick the offensive tackle out of Stanford, Jonathan Martin, and move him to right tackle.
Wow, really?
Yeah. They're moving to right tackle because they need to make sure that offensive line is moving for Arian Foster. Remember I said this kid is a good run blocker. He can pass block. He's okay. But if they're going to zone block and they're going to cut block and they're going to move, this kid can do it. He can do it. And they need to get that offensive line before they give Sharp another toy, because Sharp can't get him the ball if he's on his back. Arian Foster can't get 1,000 yards if there's a backer or a defensive lineman in his face. So I go offensive tackle right here for the Texans. All right, with the 27th pick and you're not a Jets fan anymore, so it doesn't matter.
I still don't like the Patriots.
The New England Patriots and Jerry Taylor select
Andre Branch, right end from Clemson.
That's a good pick. I like Andre Branch at that spot. I do.
They need a pass rusher.
You're right. And he'll be okay in the 3-4. I think he'll be okay in the 3-4. That's a good pick. All right, Joker. Number 28, Green Bay.
I think they're going to draft Chandler Jones, the defensive end from Syracuse.
Good pick. They need that because Matthews couldn't get in for nothing. He couldn't get in for nothing last year, and they put that guy on the left side or on the right side. Wherever Matthews is, that's trouble for the opposing team, and that helps the secondary out.
You got it.
The secondary is old, but that DN, you give him a good DN and a good D-tackle with Raji, you got something going. So I like that pick, Joker, I really do. All right, Black, your last pick. All the way in B-more, who do the Baltimore Ravens and the number one quarterback, according to himself, Joe Flacco, select at number 29?
At number 29, the Green Bay Packers select Nick Perry.
No, Baltimore.
Oh, the Baltimore Ravens select Nick Perry, outside linebacker.
Ooh, who does he replace?
He'll find a spot. You know how the Ravens keep those guys in rotation. He'll find a spot out there.
Wow.
I know they like Kruger.
Wow.
I know they like Kruger. Even though Kruger's an end, he's a stand-up end who can play a little outside linebacker. I would have given Upshaw and let Ray Lewis mold him. That's who I would have gave him. But you are the man, so... All right, to a team that I will be seeing a lot this upcoming football season, who is loaded with talent, so I know I'm not going to get a lot of tickets on the offensive side of the ball. We all know that that Harbaugh likes to run the ball. We all know that he had an outstanding offensive line. Oh, sorry, guys. But they lost a key component on that offensive line, Deuce Latuhi, who was a guard, and he did a pretty good job there last year. And I think the defense is pretty well put together. They might get another cornerback because Carlos Rogers did not re-sign with them. But I'm going to go offensive guard, Kevin Zetzler, Wisconsin. He's a mauler. He already knows how to run block. He already knows how to get down and dirty like Harbaugh wants. Comes from the Big Ten, and he knows he's not going to pass the ball that much. With Brandon Jacobs and Frank Gore, you need somebody to make some holes. So that's who I give San Francisco's pick to. And, Jerry, you get to do it again since you love the Patriots so much.
I got a bad taste in my mouth. 31st
pick overall to the New England Patriots pick.
The New England Patriots, who they need in the back end, like they've been torched. Number 32, I think they were in the pass defense.
Mm-hmm.
Markell Martin, safety.
Ooh, really? You got him over Smith? Now Smith is the number one rated safety out of Notre Dame, but you got him going there.
Markell Martin. Safety,
okay.
Oklahoma State.
Okay. You ain't got to be so snippy about it. Jeez.
No, I just – Markell Martin, Oklahoma State.
Well, I'm asking, do you think he's better than the kid from Notre Dame?
Markell Martin, safety.
Oh, my
Oklahoma
God.
State.
Can you answer the question?
Yes.
Look,
yes.
Ollie North.
Yes.
Ollie North.
Yes, it's
question,
obvious
man.
Because I picked him over Smith, yes.
Okay, so can you tell me why you picked him over Smith?
Well, I think he can cover either spot, and I just like his play over Smith. I think he's more to what New England needs versus Smith. So that's why I decided to go with Markell Martin, safety, Oklahoma State.
All right, you jerk.
If I was the Patriots, I would have took Kendall Reyes, the defensive lineman from Connecticut.
You know what? I like that, but Black, their secondary is so bad, man. They got
terrible.
Nakamura. They got Nakamura.
They have plenty of picks to grab secondary picks.
That's
the problem. They go down the line and they don't get decent secondary. They're going to be in the same boat that they are right now. 31st, 32nd against the pass defense.
I agree with Jerry a lot. I mean, Patrick Chung's okay. They picked up Nakamura, but, I mean, they're going to have a Asian safety system back there. Sorry, Kim, not trying to knock that or anything like that. But, you know, you got that back there. Those guys can hit, but I don't know about covering. Chung, he's good. Chung is pretty good when he can stay healthy. Nakamura's okay, but I don't think he's the answer. And I mean... I like your pick, Jerry, but I still like Smith better because he's a very good deep threat. I mean, a deep safety. He's a good Hawking safety. Now, with the final pick in the NFL Draft 2012 selection show here on FSP, the Joker and the New York Football Giants, his team, select who?
Oh, this is a pleasure and a privilege to be the last pick in the first round and draft for the Giants. Oh, and Patrick Chung, I'm familiar with him. He's of Chinese-Jamaican descent, actually. His mom is a popular singer in Jamaica. And when he's healthy, he's pretty good. He can make some plays back there. But the Giants, they're one of those teams who usually draft best available player. And this guy... he's a good player, but also it's a need for the Giants. The tight end from Stanford, Kobe Fleener.
Very good.
Finally!
You know
yay!
Yeah.
You know what, Jeff? I like that pick, but the Giants need linebacker help.
They just got
now,
Keith Rivers. You're right.
I can see him going to Pittsburgh because they need a tight end help as well, but you know, he's a very, very good tight end. I think he's the best tight end.
You're absolutely right. Giants need linebackers. They've needed linebackers since Antonio Pierce retired. And based on my familiarity with the Giants, you know, they're my favorite team, they don't value linebackers. They don't draft them high, and they don't sign them to big free agent contracts. That's the way they manage their cap. If you look at that defense, they invest the money in the line and the defensive backs. If they have any money left over, they try to get lucky with the linebackers.
So it's been a long, long time since the Giants have taken a linebacker in the first round. And I like Fleener. Oh, go ahead.
No. Finish your statement.
I like Fleener because, you know, he's got speed. He doesn't just catch the dump-off passes. And he's going to help fill the shoes of Mario Manningham because, you know, after you win the big one, you hemorrhage players. Everybody signs your guys. So, unfortunately, they lost Manningham to the 49ers.
You're right. I mean, I didn't think about it that way as far as, you know, taking the pressure off of Hakeem Nicks. But you're right. You're right about that. I just think Upshaw will be a perfect fit in that system because all he has to do is hit a hole and let the front four do what they do or just drop back in space. And he showed to me that he can do both. He's 270-something pounds, so and he's, in high school he played DN. So if you want to throw him in at DN, you can do that too.
You've been selling Upshaw for the past four picks now.
Because, you know why? Because the kid's going to be in the green room, and if he doesn't get picked to day two, it's going to suck.
It's going to be your fault for overselling him.
Vic, are you his agent or something? You know the guy?
No, I'm just a Bama fan, dude. I attend OU, but I'm a Bama fan. But, and Jerry can attest to that, you know, right, Jerry? Anyway, I wanted to thank all of my co-hosts today. Matter of fact, this is the entire family. Ricky's a distant cousin.
Really?
Yes, because Ricky, Jeff co-hosts on Thursday's show. So we've got everybody here except for Ricky, but Ricky's got to get his work life together, so I'm putting them on the side right now. But we have the entire FSP family on the line. Myself, Jerry, Lat, Jeff, and you, Kim. This is the entire network. So I want to thank all of my co-hosts and hosts that are here. You guys really make me very happy and very proud. And trust me, one of these days I'm able to compensate you for everything you do for me. I'm making it my business. I'm going to try to do it, and I appreciate everything you do. And thank you very much for working with me on the draft. And we're going to come in next Saturday to do the same thing. And Kim even dropped some insight. She dropped some insight on you people, even though it's West Coast insight. She don't know nothing about the Midwest or the East or the South. She just knows the West Coast. But it's okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go this way. I'm going to start with some parting shots real quick. We're going to go Kim, Black, Jeff, Jerry, and me. Kim, do you have anything you want to say to the listeners?
Come and listen to Compassion Dakini on Tuesday at 1 p.m. California time and 2 p.m. on East Coast time.
No, 4 p.m.
4 p.m. on East Coast time.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Not a problem. Here on Blog Talk Radio.
And it was very nice to talk to everybody, and I really appreciate. And, Jeff, it was very nice talking with you. I think this is our first time meeting. So
it is. Same here. Thank you.
You guys actually do a good – Jeff and Kim, y'all would do a good show together because y'all have interesting points of views and talking points. I'm mauling things over in my head. But anyway, Compassion Dakini, every Tuesday. Shut up, Jerry. Every Tuesday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Kim Fun doing her thing.
Thank you.
All right. Black, you're up, brother.
Yes, indeed. Listen to Compassion Dakini. Also, the Capital Classic, the 39th annual Capital Classic is coming up on Saturday. We might have the general manager there for that game on Thursday's show, waiting confirmation for that. I'll be there Saturday where I'll be talking with the young Sam Cassell Jr., one of the top guards in the country. He'll be playing at the Capital Classic. So we'll have that in store for you next Thursday.
All right. You know what to do. Sound bites, interviews, do what you got to do, brother man.
Hey, Jerry.
Yes, sir.
Did you get my Cinco de Mayo email?
Cinco de Mayo? Yes, I did. I haven't opened it up. I don't even know if I'll be able to return to make that date because of I've moved recently and my finances are not where they should be to make that trip. So.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to talk to you. Hey, Black, I need you to tell me what you need me to write, brother, and I'll have it out.
Oh, it's on the second email I sent you.
It doesn't tell me what it needs to say. It just says send this to this person. What do you need me to say? That's what I need you to tell me, and I'll have it to you ASAP.
That I'm the on-site correspondent for the show.
Okay, that's easy. You're executive producer, or you're a producer and on-site coordinator, reporter, flash reporter. Got it. That's all you need to put? Got you covered,
yeah.
Brother. I'll have it to you tomorrow. Jeff, you're up.
It's been a pleasure, and hope to talk to everybody again soon.
Always short and to the point. I love it. Windbag. What's happening, Kevin?
Come on, man. Anyway, tune in tomorrow. Hopefully Kim will call in. We'll be conversing about her journey to Mount Kilimanjaro. And I'll be talking about some news and notes from this past few days on the fantasy, sports, and politics. But it'll be the master plan at 10 o'clock to 11 a.m. in the morning on Sunday.
All right. Again, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank my co-hosts. They are part of my family. They're extended family. Matter of fact, I got to tell you guys right now, and I told Jerry, I didn't tell everybody else, when I return to the States on June 26th, on the 27th, I believe that's a Saturday, my family and my wife's family, we're doing a big outing at Six Flags in Maryland. And I want you guys, if you can make it, to come on down and hang out with me and my family. We're getting reduced prices because it's going to be such a big group. It'll be an opportunity for me to see everybody. If you can make it before I head to California. And if not, we can make other arrangements during the summertime. But I'd love to have you three gentlemen there. And I know, Kim, you'll still be here in Germany. And I see you all the time anyway. But
uh-huh.
I still love
My heart is broken.
But I still love you, Kim. So I get to say goodbye to you before I go away anyway. Get with me if you want to make it, fellas. I'm talking to Jeff,
yeah.
Black, and Jerry.
Right.
Get with me if you want to do it, and bring your family, girlfriends, kids, whatever, and hang out with me and my family. Don't be afraid. You'll be the only Jewish guy there, Jeff. You won't be the only white guy.
Let me tell you, that's the story of my life. I stick out like a turd in a punch bowl. That is the story of my life.
But you won't be the only person of a light complexion, okay? I love you, Jeff.
Yeah.
It is what it is. And Black, you know how I do, Slim. So just come on down. Bring a girl and you know, anybody else you want, and we all hook up and do what we do. I'll get y'all more information as it becomes available. But that's all I wanted to say to everybody. I want to thank everybody for listening to Fantasy Sports and Politics Saturday edition, mock draft number one. We do what we do, and I guarantee some of our draft selections will actually take place. I can guarantee that because, my guys, we know our stuff. I'm telling you, bar none. Jerry, you know what I need you to do.
As always, from Jeff, Black, Kim, and myself, and also Vic Gardner, you have been listening to
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You want to talk back, you in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics.